As you can tell, if you can't, I came down with a cold, so I'm eating Ricola lozenges like they're candy. So put up with me because you have no other choice. Okay. This morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 13 and going through verse 25. Before we start, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We praise your name because you are God. We thank you because you have filled us with the Holy Spirit and you have helped us to understand your word. And we pray that this morning as we read your word and as we look at what it says, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and help us to know these things. I pray that you'll fill our hearts and let us meditate upon the things in your word this week, that they might cause us to grow in our walk with you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's look at chapter 4, verses 13 through 25 in Romans. And it reads, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For it is the if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, 'So shall your offspring be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Oh, I love reading God's word. So last week, we saw that salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, right? Now, Paul goes further and he says, remember, there was a promise also. God promised Abraham that through him, all the nations would be blessed. Not all his descendants, all the nations would be blessed. We saw before in Genesis that this was a blessing to the whole world and not just to the descendants of Abraham. This promise was made to Abraham about how God was going to use him. And Paul wants to show that the promise came through faith also. He says that it comes by obedience of the law, then the faith is null and the promise is void. So you remember that the faith of Abraham, which was counted to him as righteousness, as well as the promise made to him by God, both came long before the law ever existed, right? The law didn't come along until Moses. Abraham is hundreds of years earlier than that. And so the these things didn't come as a result of the law because the law didn't exist. Paul shows us that if we were saved by the law, then there's no need for faith. You simply obey the law and you go to heaven. There's no faith involved in it. And if that's the case, then in fact, you've earned heaven by your actions. And Paul says this can't be. That's completely false. And it's important because the people in Paul's day who were coming along and saying, in order to be saved, you first have to be a Jew, you first have to obey the law, were driving this wedge in the church, trying to confuse people and lead them astray. And Paul's saying, look, from the very beginning of this, there was no law. Therefore, the law can't bring you salvation. It didn't exist at the time of Abraham. Therefore, it wasn't by the law that Abraham received his righteousness. It had to be by something else, and that was faith in God. And Paul reminds us that, as he pointed out before, the only thing that the law does is point out your sin. That's all it does. It shows us that we need a Savior. It shows us that we're sinful and we need something to fix our sin. That's what the law does. That doesn't make the law unimportant. It just doesn't make the law do what the Israelites were trying to say that it did. Right? He's not saying the law isn't important. It is important. It points out our sin. It leads us to the need for salvation. It points us to a Savior. It has a purpose, but it doesn't bring salvation. He's helping us to see these points, and he's pointed it out. Salvation relies on grace from God. And remember, grace is the receipt of something that you don't deserve. And so salvation is something you don't deserve that God gives you. Remember that. That's super important for us. The law only identifies the sin. And I want you to think of it this way. I read this, so I'm not taking credit for it. But imagine you're speeding down the freeway with me. You're speeding down the freeway. And out of nowhere comes this policeman, and he pulls in behind you. And he pulls you over, and he gives you a ticket. What's the purpose of the law and the ticket? It's to remind you that you're supposed to obey the laws, right? It's to point out the error of what you've done. But the law doesn't pay off the ticket for you, nor does it change your heart and cause you to stop speeding. It may if it gets heavy in your wallet enough, but it doesn't change your heart. Therefore, the law's purpose is not to change you, although it does have a purpose, which is to point out your crime, to point out your sin. It's by grace, through faith in Jesus, who paid the price for our sins, that changes our heart. It's the love of God that is in us that causes us to change and causes us to begin to live and love God for who he is and what he has done. It is not the law that does that. And it's not the law that brings about the fulfillment of the promise. Paul goes on and he says, there is no law if there's no transgression. If there's no law, you can't do something against the law, can you? Doesn't mean there wasn't sin because there was law, but if there were no law, there is no sin. So the law's purpose is to point out our sin. Paul tells us, though, that this promise, this salvation depends on faith, so that the promise may rest in the grace of God. The saving, the giving of God of this gift that we don't deserve. See, if we don't understand this, then we're constantly going to be trying to do things to win favor with God, do things to earn salvation, do things to pay for something we've done wrong. I don't know about you, but I've heard plenty of times people will say, well, you just got to do a few more good things than you do bad things. And there's huge problems with that, which Don went over last week also. But one of them is the fact that Isaiah tells us that the best thing you can do, the most magnificent thing you can do, is a dirty rag before God. So how are you ever going to pay your way in? You can't. Why? Because it comes by the grace of God. It's a gift he gives to you. You don't deserve it, but he gives it to you. And that comes by faith through Jesus Christ. And here's the best part. He says, not only are the ones who are physical heirs of Abraham included, but everyone who has Abraham's faith in God is included as well. Remember, the promise is that all nations will be blessed. Guess who's part of the all? Us. We are the all nations, right? We are that is there. And God's grace gift to us comes not by the law, but it is guaranteed by, to everyone whose faith is like Abraham's faith. Faith in God, not faith in other things. Faith in Yahweh. Paul goes on then and he reminds us that the promise comes from God who created all things, who raises to life the dead, and who speaks into existence the things that do not exist and did not exist. We have to remember, God is the one who created everything. He didn't just create everything, he created everything, right? I was thinking about this the last couple of weeks, and it was, you know, mind-boggling to me, but that we don't think about this. He didn't just create the trees and the mountains and the sun and the moon. He created every part of you, not just your body. He created your spirit. He created your soul. He created your personality. He created the air that you breathe. You would not breathe if he didn't keep you breathing. Your blood would not pump if he did not keep your heart pumping. Your brain would not function if he did not keep your brain functioning. Sometimes I think he turns my switch off, but he is the one who created everything, and nothing exists except that he created it. It's so amazing, and it makes my brain hurt when I stop and think about how much he loves you. And in the midst of all of that, by his grace, he gives you the access to the promise he made to Abraham, that you would be blessed to be part of his family. Paul goes on and he tells us about Abraham, and he says he had great hope, Abraham did. And the phrase in verse 18, where it reads, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father. And I was reading some commentaries, and one of the things that they were saying was, really shouldn't be read hope against hope, but rather hope piled upon top of hope. It wasn't that he hoped against something, but that he kept piling his hope on top of the next one and the next one and the next one, so that his hope was growing, that his faith was growing. And he didn't just look at this and say, I hope that God will follow through. Abraham's faith was, I know that God will follow through. Abraham believed and was certain that God would make him the father of many nations, even though at this point he hadn't even had a child yet. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you're 22 and you're not married and you haven't had a child yet, you go, well, there's still time. When you're 40, you go, time's getting short, right? And if you're a woman, time's coming, right? You're concerned about that. Well, look at Abraham. Abraham believed that God would fulfill his promise, even though he didn't know how it was going to happen. Because Abraham is 90 years old. He's 90 years old. His wife is 80 years old. How is this going to happen? I don't know. But I know this. I believe God, and I have faith in him, and he will make it happen because he is God. Hebrews says to us in chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. The certainty, the absolute knowledge that it will happen, though I can't see it. Okay? And we use that verse. We quote it a lot. But do we really believe what it says? Paul says Abraham did not weaken in his faith when he considered that he was as good as dead. When it comes to childbearing, Abraham is good as dead, right? You don't read a lot in the newspaper about people who are 90 years old having children. Abraham was as good as dead. His wife, Sarah, was barren. She was beyond childbearing. It tells us in Genesis that the way of the woman had stopped. She was not capable of bearing children at that point. Abraham was not capable of producing children at that point. According to man's science, it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child at this point in their life. And yet Abraham said, I am sure that God will fulfill his promise in my life. God promised this would happen. And in Abraham's mind, it is as good as done. Do we think that way in our lives? See, this is why Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness to him. His faith did not waver just because he couldn't see the future. In fact, the statement tells us his faith grew stronger. The more impossible things became, his faith got stronger. Do I get stronger in my faith the more impossible things become? The harder it happens, the more difficult I think it will be for God to fulfill his promise. Does my faith get stronger or do I become weaker? Abraham's faith grew stronger. You know, there's a song that we sing that says, when I fight, I'll fight on my knees. Do you fight on your knees? When things begin to look impossible, do we turn to God and say, I know who you are. You are God of the impossible. You are the one who created all things. You are the one who brings into existence things that don't exist. When he made that promise to Abraham, none of the nations that exist today existed. Yet all those nations are part of the promise. So God brings into existence things that don't exist. We're not just talking about creation. We're talking about powers and nations and worlds who are in earth that are coming. And we go, God has the power to bring all of that about. And Abraham didn't see any of that. Abraham didn't know about what was going on in the 21st century. But he knew what God had promised. And he had faith that God would fulfill his promise. And so Paul then goes on and he says that the righteousness counted to Abraham by faith will be counted to you also. Isn't that great? He says the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. All of us who believe Christ was raised by God, all of us who have faith in him are part of that promise. That wasn't a promise just to Abraham. It was a promise to us as well. And as long as it takes until Christ returns, those who come after us are included in that promise. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead to pay the price for our salvation is the very same God who has promised Abraham that the nations will be blessed because of his righteousness in faith. We are part of those nations, and if we have faith in God who has done this for us, if Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness to him before God, so will your faith be counted as righteousness before God. So my question to myself was, do I have faith like Abraham? This is a challenge to me. I don't know about you, but I think to myself, I have faith that God can do what he promised. But that's not the question. Do I have faith that God will do what he has promised? See, it's one thing for us to say, yes, I have faith. God can do anything. That's a good statement. It's true. God can do anything. Question is, in your heart, do you believe that God will do anything? That God will do what he has promised us? Don't go sideways here, okay? This is not prosperity preaching. We're not talking about we go to God and he gives us whatever I feel like, right? God made promises to us. And if we go before God and we say to him, I have faith in you, I know you can and I know you will fulfill the promises in my faith like Abraham that is strong, I can be absolutely assured and certain that God will help me overcome my temptation. I can have peace in the face of my tribulation. I know that he will guide me through all the trials of life, and I have faith that he not only can, but that he will. I can rely on those promises. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't rely on the law. Don't rely on yourself. Don't rely on the people around you. Turn to the Creator, to the one who made everything, to the one who has power over everything, to the one who keeps in existence all things, the God of heaven. And say to him, you are the one who I will rely on. You are the one I will trust in. You are the one who my faith is with. And God in his grace will come to you and lead you through and fulfill these promises for us. Isn't that great? I don't have to live in uncertainty because I know who God is. And I know that his love is great. His love is steadfast. His love endures forever. The God who raised Jesus from the dead is our God. The God who gave an old couple a child to fulfill the beginning of his promise is our God. The God who washed away our sin and took away his wrath from us is our God. And just as Abraham and with Abraham, our faith will be strengthened as we go through our life, as we rely on God and let him fulfill his promises in us. We know who God is. He reveals himself to us. He gave us his son Jesus, and he raised him from the dead. And this great act by God is what our faith is based on. It's not based on shallow things of the world. It's based on our great Father who loves us and cares for us. Jesus died on a tree, and his resurrection from the dead, these two events are not two events. They are the single act by a loving Father who gives salvation to those who believe and have faith in him. Jesus died to pay the price for your sin, and he rose to conquer death and to draw you close to him, and that through that event, we have salvation with God. We have resurrection. We have our sins forgiven. We have everlasting life in him. He wants us to live by faith and to rely on his promises. And he wants us to rely on him, and he will strengthen us as we rely on him. And our faith will grow stronger and allow us to do all of the things that he calls us to do, because we will trust in him. We will go to him, and he will always be there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He carries us every single day. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. You are mighty. You are wondrous, God. Your love for us is overwhelming. You who created us, who knew what our heart was like before, sent your son Jesus to die on the cross. You raised him from the dead, and because of that, we have everlasting life in you. And God, we thank you and we praise you. And I pray that today you will help us to have faith that grows day by day by day as we trust in you, as we walk with you, as we rely on you. And God, as you show us every day your greatness in the little things, in the great things. God, I pray that you will help us that as we face the impossible, we will not face it alone. We will come before you and we will call out and say, you promised to walk with me no matter what I face. And we will trust you to lead us where you want us to go. God, I praise you and I thank you and I ask that you will go with us today. Give us that assurance and help us to share that with those who need to hear about Jesus as their Savior. We ask all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all the glory and honor goes to him. Amen.